Hi everyone, welcome to our Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne Zupko, and as usual, I'm so grateful to be here, and I'm happy everybody is here as well, whether you're with us at this moment or listening in at a later point in time. Let's begin, as we usually do, by just coming together for a few moments of silence. If there's something on your mind, anything that you've been wrestling with or struggling with, just imagining scooping it all up into a pile, all of those concerns, all of those worries, situations, struggles, whatever they may be. And finding your willingness to hand it all over to the Holy Spirit. Saying to the Holy Spirit, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. And with that, just putting it all into the Holy Spirit's arms. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. Whatever we need, the Holy Spirit will provide, and we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. Taking a nice mindful breath in and out, and coming together to our perception of this time and place. Again, welcome everyone. Before we begin reading, I'll just mention again that this Sunday, which would be April 7th at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, I will be interviewed by Dan Rose on ACIM Hangout, which is a Google Hangout. So if you're interested in joining us, you are more than welcome. The easiest way to do that is to add ACIM Hangout to your circles on Google+. And it will also be streaming live on Dan Rose's YouTube page, and it'll be recorded as well if anybody's interested. I'll be talking about my experience in working the course and overcoming anxiety. So, we finished Chapter 5 last week, woohoo! And now we're into, well, we're just beginning Chapter 6, and whichever edition of the book you have, it's right at the start of Chapter 6 where we are picking up. So, Sparkle Edition, it's page 117, Original Edition, page 100, and FIP Edition, page 91. And as usual, I noticed that although the message is essentially the same between the Sparkle and the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, the Foundation for Inner Peace edition will have some differences. So there is more editing in that book. And that's why if I'm reading something and you're following along in FIP and it's not there, you're not missing any. Well, your book is missing it. You're not missing anything. And I'll just mention, too, if anybody doesn't have the Sparkle edition or original edition, they're both available to read online. All right, let's dive in. So So Chapter 6, Attack and Fear, is the title in the Sparkle and Original Editions. In FIP, it's called The Lessons of Love. The relationship of anger to attack is obvious, but the inevitable association of anger and fear is not always so clear. Anger always involves projection of separation, which must ultimately be accepted as entirely one's own responsibility. Anger cannot occur unless you believe that you have been attacked, that your attack was justified, and that you are in no way responsible. Given these three wholly irrational premises, the equally irrational conclusion that a brother is worthy of attack rather than of love follows. What can be expected from insane premises except an insane conclusion? I'm going to read the next paragraph, too. The way to undo an insane conclusion is to consider the sanity of the premises on which it rests. You cannot be attacked. Attack has no justification, and you are responsible for what you believe. You have been asked to take me as your model for learning, since an extreme example is a particularly helpful learning device. Everyone teaches and teaches all the time. This is a responsibility which he inevitably assumes the moment he accepts any premise at all, and no one can organize his life without any thought system. Once he has developed a whichever thought system it is that we are identifying with, that's the thought system that we are teaching. So if we are identifying with the thought system of the ego, we teach of the ego. We get we reinforce that things out there can cause us to feel or be a certain way. We engage in attack, defense, all that fun stuff that we know about. And when we are listening instead to the Holy Spirit's thought system, that we then end up teaching as well, simply by our choice to listen to the Holy Spirit rather than the ego. So did anybody have any thoughts come up as we read these two paragraphs? I thought it was interesting how it, in the first paragraph that we read, it says, anger always involves projection of separation, which must ultimately be accepted as entirely one's own responsibility. And then it goes on to say, anger cannot occur unless you believe you have been attacked, that your attack was justified, and that you are in no way responsible. I feel like that we want to do that all the time. I feel like I can easily catch myself many times in the day wanting to not be responsible, wanting to attribute, you know, whatever it might be to something outside of myself, even if it's a physical symptom or in a relationship, it's something out there that's causing me to be a certain way versus what the Course is saying, that we are responsible for which teacher we're following.
It's funny because when you are angry, or when I am angry, or when I choose to feel anger, it doesn't seem like I'm responsible at all. I mean, it doesn't even occur to me.
Right.
My responsibility in all of that, you know?
Right. Yeah, it doesn't. It's like we get blinders.
Wow.
We don't want to see or aren't willing to see that responsibility at all. We want it. Yeah, you're totally right. The anger just, like, takes over. And yet one of the messages of the Course is that anger is not justified in any form. Isn't that a lesson, some form of that? I feel like that's in the workbook. Anger is never justified, or something to that effect is one of the lessons. And that can be a tough one, because we can think of many reasons why our anger is justified.
Oh, you said it. You said it. Oh, boy.
Yeah. So that's where that little tiny willingness comes in again. That all we have to do, we don't have to, you know, force ourselves to not be angry. All we have to do is acknowledge where we're at and be willing to take those feelings to the Holy Spirit. We really are asked to do so little.
The fear plays a big part in all of that, you know.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
That's where, you know, the emotions come in, and it all becomes you know, it all feels very real.
It sure does.
And remembering to call on the Holy Spirit in those situations is sometimes, you know, challenging.
Yeah. Sometimes it's easier after the fact, you know, while we're in it. It's like the Holy Spirit is not even a thought. And yet as we chip away and slowly peel back layer upon layer of, you know, our resistance, we start to sometimes remember in the heat of things to ask and to turn toward the Holy Spirit. We might not be happy that we're remembering that because we want to stay in the anger. Sometimes it feels, you know,
justified.
Feels really good to the ego. What was that, Paul? I missed it.
Justified, because it says that your attack was justified.
Mm-hmm.
It always feels like it's justified.
We want to be right.
I'm right about this, doggone it.
And, you know, I can go down that road if I want to, but on the opposite page, which we shared last week, was I must have decided wrongly because
of course.
And so I'm like, I'm all for peace, you know. Like,
mm-hmm.
let me gravitate towards peace.
You know, it's sometimes it depends on the situation, you know, where it's just, I think it's the emotions that become so intensified that, you know, that sometimes make it feel like a more challenging decision. But, you know, wherever you are, and you just got to process through it, basically.
Absolutely. We have to be where we're at. We can't.
You know, and I mean, it's very nice to say, well, I'm not going to do that. You know, and I must have decided wrongly. Well, doggone it, I'm not ready to do that.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And you know that not ready is like an okay place to be too.
You bet your life it is. I'm not judging myself anymore for that because I've played that number on myself far too often and far too long, you know. So I'm just, you know, I went for 2 needle biopsies today, and when I left the hospital, I just felt angry. I just felt damn mad. And I don't even know what I was mad about, to be honest with you. And, you know, I've really been asking the Holy Spirit for clarity on it. And I will get that.
Absolutely.
During the week, I had I've been kind of, you know, this is a little challenging when you get involved with this whole medical thing. I've skirted it for quite some time now. And, you know, today it was challenging to be in this situation. What I got during the week with all of this is that you're really never angry for the reason you think or upset for the reason you think. And on some level, I got that doubting that I am as God created me is the real problem. Doubting that anything could really harm me is like doubting God.
That's perfect.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And it's...
Go ahead.
And, you know, I mean, it's really helped me to feel very calm. I think today, the way the whole thing was handled and then all these extra tests and all this stuff, they make it all seem so, you know, I felt that fear again and that doubt. So I'm processing through that now.
I feel like you just nailed it by saying, by your description, that phrase, doubting that you are as God created you. That's what this all is. That, you know, that's you're thinking that you're Paula, that's you thinking that you're
yep.
a body, that's me thinking I'm Corinne, that's me thinking I'm a body, that's, you know, that doubt is what is the fabric of this, you know, earthly realm that we're in, that we are not as God created us. We pulled off the separation. We really did it. You know, that's these are all ego beliefs. This is all what the ego is telling us, that we are not as God created us. And what better evidence is there to show for that than that we are limited to these bodies that can be hurt, that are finite, that are only going to last so long. So that evidence for, you know, sickness, for suffering, for anger, for death, that's the ego's best evidence to show you that you, in fact, pulled off the separation and you, in fact, are a body. And if we accept that, we're staying with that. We're going to be just, you know, moving along with the world and sharing in that thought system. It's with the Course asking us to question every single belief that we're holding. The fact that you can see that doubt that you are as God created you is a beautiful thing, because that's like where the door opens. It's a matter of looking at that doubt and with the Holy Spirit and saying, you know, here is that thought, that feeling that I am not as you created me, and I'm willing to look at that with you. You know, I'm willing to look at that with you. And that's where
Corinne. Yesterday's workbook, well, today's workbook lesson almost blew me off my feet, because it could not have been any more appropriate for the situation I was going into. Mm-hmm. But yesterday's workbook lesson is, let me recognize the problem so it can be solved. Now, I went through this whole thing today, and they're saying to me, we'll call you with the results on Monday. Right. So now I've got this problem, and I have to wait to Monday to get the results. And then in the meantime, the doctor says, I'll be out till Thursday. I'll call you then, because I want to talk to you about all of this.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So now listen to this. It says, let me recognize my problems have been solved. I seem to have problems only because I am misusing time. I believe that the problem comes first and time must elapse before it can be worked out. I do not see the problem and the answer as simultaneous in their occurrence. So now, you know, I felt very confident about this before I went in there and got into that drama today, and then started to doubt again. Oh, I have to wait till Monday to get, how dare I have the gall to think that I am as God created me now. Mm-hmm. No, I have to wait till Monday to get their results. This is so insane.
It is.
This is so insane. So it says, I need not wait for this to be resolved. The answer to this problem is already given me if I will accept it. Time cannot separate this problem from this, from its solution. So this is this is very challenging,
and
it almost feels to me like an incredible blessing.
I'm following you, Paula. Yeah.
You know, it almost feels like this incredible blessing. What does he say in here? You got to walk through those clouds to get to the light.
Right.
So, in a sense, this is something I have been afraid of in the back of my mind my entire life. And I have avoided mammographies and all of this stuff for some time. And I can't say that it was totally fear-based, because it's not, because I believe the Course in Miracles. I believe what it's saying. But sometimes I think there is a benefit. You can't get it wrong no matter what, because there is no death. So no matter what they tell you, you know, it's all good news anyway. But, you know, on this earth plane level, I don't know, it's feels like a process. I don't know.
Yeah, and it is. It is. And so much of what you said, I don't know if you remember several, I don't even know, it had to be at least 2 months ago maybe, I shared that story about me and my mom and all the testing that I had been going through.
Yes,
and
yes.
I was also forced into that space that you just described that I've always hated of not knowing, of, you know, knowing that something is possibly amiss and then you have to, the doctor can't give you the results for 2 weeks and you have to just wait. Great, you know, thanks. That's a space that I've always avoided and you know, always hated. And there I was, just like you said, it's a blessing. This is an opportunity. You said, and I believe you, I know that, you know, you are a course student and you very much believe it and practice it, as do I. And yet I know for me, there is part of me that I don't want to say doesn't believe it. There's part of me that doesn't want to.
No.
You know,
there's part of us, that ego voice that mm-hmm. is saying, how dare you believe it? You
mm-hmm.
could be wrong about this.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make a goddamn fool out of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This is a devil in us.
Right.
And it doesn't even exist. It's not even real.
Right. But we don't know that, you know, like if we knew it wasn't real, it wouldn't be a problem anymore. Like, we'd be done with it. So we don't, we get our...
forgetting to say to myself is, wait a minute, would God be saying that to you?
Right.
What
right. Oh,
would
beautiful.
God be saying to you right now? I tell you, it gets me so fearful that I forget to say that to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's the counterbalance. That is always the counterbalance
mm-hmm.
that sets it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But for me, when I go into a situation like that, you know, the energy in a hospital, the energy in, you know, I have to realize that I feel extra vulnerable when I'm going into a situation like that. And I have to, like, take in more armor, so to speak, with all these, with all the messages that I've learned.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
absolutely, Carol. Carol, I have been, I've had my head in this book this week. Like, you
exactly.
can't even believe.
Oh, yeah.
And miracles are literally happening all around me.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I'm walking out the door today, there's another woman in the waiting room who I wouldn't have even spoken to, but Mary Lou got into a conversation with her. And she said to me, you know, I haven't been for a mammography in 7 years, so they're really pulling out all the stops. They have nothing to go by on me. It's as if she was talking about me. She says, they have nothing to go by on me, so they have to run all of these tests.
Right.
She says, they are testing me in every... Now, is that amazing? Because,
yeah.
Again, it's been a long time since I've done this, and I didn't... And now you're in a woman's breast center, no less.
Right.
So they really get you nuts.
Yeah. But what I'm reminded of, which, I mean, I just found a receipt of how long ago I got my Course in Miracles book, was over 15 years ago.
Wow.
And I know, Paula, you've been studying double that, but I mean, the message that I keep getting is I keep learning. I keep learning. It's like,
mm-hmm.
for me, it's like different levels
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
it's just,
that's
know.
Why I'm saying that this is a blessing, because this is an opportunity to really put feet to your prayers here, you know?
Right. And to allow the atonement, the undoing, the correction to even, you know, touch you at that deeper level, at that, with everything that's coming up right now, is coming up for it to be looked at with the Holy Spirit, for it to be healed. And in that, like you said, it's that enormous blessing.
It really is. And I knew, Adam, I knew this would be so helpful tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. You know, I'll share one other thing, only because this is what really helped me, and maybe it'll resonate, you know, maybe it won't, but in, so when we talked about, you know, believing the course, but then, you know, the part of us that doesn't want to, that, you know, that ego voice, if you flip back a page, we read this last week, it was on page 115. It's kind of right in the middle of the page. It's in the middle of the second full paragraph on page 115 in the circle. I'll read it. Excluding yourself from the atonement. So that's just what we talked about with, you know, that doubt. We're really not as God created us. Excluding yourself from the atonement is the ego's last-ditch defense of its own existence. Mm-hmm. It reflects both the ego's need to separate and your willingness to side with its separateness. This willingness means, and this is in all caps in the Sparkle Edition, this willingness means that you do not want to be healed.
Wow.
It's that last sentence. This willingness means that you do not want to be healed. So it, in other words, it's our willingness to side with the ego separateness, and that being an indicator that we don't want to be healed, meaning we don't want the split mind to be healed. We don't want to necessarily know that we are one in truth, because we want to stay in these separate bodies with these, you know, separate personalities. That's what it's talking about in terms of healing there. For me, when I was going through all this, looking at, being willing to look at my unwillingness, my, you know, my desire to want the picture to turn out a certain way, my desire to want my body to be okay even, all that for me were things that I looked at with the Holy Spirit. They were all these like beliefs that I kept just being willing to look at. Okay, you know, I want a happy outcome, specifically meaning, you know, I want X, Y, and Z test results to come out okay. Like almost like looking at my, you know, agenda that I have and just continually turning all of it to the Holy Spirit, even my desire to still be a body. That was like the you know, one of the bottom lines for me. And just in doing that and allowing those things to be looked at with the Holy Spirit, bringing them to the light, I can't tell you what a relief it felt when those things were taken, you know, lifted from me.
Yeah.
Because I was willing to have them be transformed. So I bring up that resistance piece and that unwillingness piece because I feel like that's, for me, that was just as important.
You just nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the resistance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Listen to this. All right. I was told that I have to, you know, I had to go for this procedure today.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, either yesterday or the day before, I told Mary, my supervisor, that I wanted a couple of days off because I was going for this procedure. Because they said that you can't shower, you can't take a bath, you can't lift anything, you can't do anything. So I felt that after, you know, I needed the day off for the procedure, I needed the following day off, and then I'll go back to work on Friday. Well, she made kind of a big deal out of it. And you need a note, and you got to do this, that, and the other thing. And I thought, wow, that kind of complicates it. Well, anyway, I called the doctor for a note. And the woman said to me, I can't give you a note. We've never given a note for this. Absolutely not. You can't have a note. And I just said, oh, okay. And with that, oh, you can't have a note. We've never done this before. And she kept repeating herself over and over. And finally I said, I understand. Goodbye. And I hung up. So with that, I sat down and I wrote out a vacation card. You have to write out a card if you want to take a vacation. I'll take a vacation day. Screw it. And I'll come to work on Thursday dirty. I don't care. And I really didn't. I did not care.
Mm-hmm.
So Mary comes over to me and she said, how did you make out? Did you get the note? And I said, no, they won't give me a note. So I'm taking it as a vacation day. Now, this woman, she makes everything difficult for you, right? Do you know what she did? She took the vacation card out of my hand and ripped it up. And she says, you're not taking a vacation day. She said, you're taking a personal day. And I don't want to hear another thing. She said, that's horrible. They wouldn't give you a note. Now, later on, and I mean, I kissed her. I did. I got up. I gave her a hug. I said, thank you for being so kind.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, later in the day, no, this had to be Wednesday that I called for the note. I'm all confused with the goddamn days. Today's Wednesday.
Today I went for the procedure.
I mean, this gets you crazy. It gets you nuts. Yesterday morning, the woman at the doctor's office calls me up and says, you know, she says, Mrs. Shipman, I'm giving you a note to take off the day after your procedure. She said, I couldn't sleep at all last night. She said, I felt terrible about I'm telling you, that whole lack of resistance, because I figured, I don't care what they do, I'm not resisting it. I'm not giving up my peace of mind for this. And it could not have turned out, but she apologized to me.
Wow.
She...
wow.
Now, that's all about letting go. But, you know, by the time I finally got there this afternoon, this has been a little rough week.
Yeah.
By the time I got there this afternoon, I was like, and then in the meantime, my daughter, she can't deal with any of this.
Uh-huh.
And she offered to take me, and I said, please don't take me. Laura will take me. It'll be fine, honey. You don't have to do this. Don't, you know. No, Ma, I'm taking you. I have to get over this fear. Uh-huh. So now I'm with somebody. I don't know if she's going to pass out on me. I don't know if she's going to. By the time I got in there, I'm telling you.
Were you taking care of her?
Thank God she came through it with flying colors.
Good, good.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God. Oh, what a day.
That's a really, really powerful example, Paula, of just, you know, being totally non-resistant and open and look at the shifts that happen with your boss and with the nurse or the, you know, the office manager, whoever she was. That's really incredible. It's awesome. It's just
that's beautiful.
When we do this. Yep. Did I hear Deidre?
Yes. Hi.
I thought I did. Hi. I recognize.
Tune into the call tonight. That's awesome.
Oh, we're glad you made it. Wow. Powerful stuff. Really powerful stuff. Oh, well, let's see. I love these nights when I look up at the clock and it's like, oh, we have like 20 minutes left and, oh, we've only read two paragraphs? How about we read a little more? I'll read the next one. You have been chosen to teach the atonement precisely because you have been extreme examples of allegiance to your thought systems and therefore have developed the capacity for allegiance. It has indeed been misplaced, but it is a form of faith, which you yourselves have been willing to redirect. You cannot doubt the strength of your devotion when you consider how faithfully you have observed it. It was quite evident that you had already developed the ability to follow a better model if you could accept it. So again, it's just saying here that we have that we have the capacity for allegiance right now. We've chosen to direct that allegiance to the ego. We're equally as capable of redirecting our allegiance back to the Holy Spirit, which is what makes us happy. I love this next section. This is the next section we're reading. The title of it is The Message of the Crucifixion. This is giving a different interpretation to the crucifixion and the resurrection than what we are used to hearing. So let's read a little more. The Message of the Crucifixion. For teaching purposes, let us consider the crucifixion again. We have not dwelt on it before because of its fearful connotations. The only emphasis we laid upon it was that it was not a form of punishment. Nothing, however, can be really explained in negative terms only. There is a positive interpretation of the crucifixion which is wholly devoid of fear and therefore wholly benign in what it teaches if it is properly understood. The crucifixion is nothing more than an extreme example. Its value, like the value of any teaching device, lies solely in the kind of learning it facilitates. It can be and has been misunderstood. This is only because the fearful are apt to perceive fearfully. I have already told you that you can always call on me to share my decision and thus make it stronger. I also told you that the crucifixion was the last foolish journey that the sonship need take, and that it should mean release from fear to anyone who understands it. While we emphasized only the resurrection before, the purpose of the crucifixion and how it actually led to the resurrection was not clarified at that time. Nevertheless, it has a definite contribution to make to your own lives if you will consider it without fear. And if you will consider it without fear, it will help you understand your own role as teachers. Any comments so far? Let's keep going. You have reacted for years as if you were being crucified. This is a marked tendency of the separated ones, who always refuse to consider what they have done to themselves. Projection means anger. Anger fosters assault, and assault promotes fear. The real meaning of the crucifixion lies in the apparent intensity of the assault of some of the sons of God upon another. This, of course, is impossible and must be fully understood as an impossibility. In fact, unless it is fully understood as only that, I cannot serve as a real model for learning. Assault can ultimately be made only on the body. There is little doubt that one body can assault another and can even destroy it. Yet if destruction itself is impossible, then anything that is destructible cannot be real. Therefore, its destruction does not justify anger. To the extent to which you believe that it does, you must be accepting false premises and teaching them to others. The message which the crucifixion was intended to teach was that it is not necessary to perceive any form of assault in persecution because you cannot be persecuted. If you respond with anger, you must be equating yourself with the destructible and are therefore regarding yourself insanely. I'll just pause there for a moment. So this is pretty powerful stuff. This statement, the message which the crucifixion was intended to teach, was that it is not necessary to perceive any form of assault and persecution because you cannot be persecuted. If you respond with anger, you must be equating yourself with the destructible and therefore are regarding yourself insanely. That's our decision to believe in the ego, our decision to side with the ego and to believe that we are these separate bodies, because in doing so, we're going to perceive that we can be hurt if we think that we are these limited piles of clay, these garments. Ooh, I have to share something really quick that just came up for me. On Easter, there was a program on TV called The Gospel of Judas. I don't know if anybody has had a chance to see that. I highly recommend that you do if you can. They talk about how the Gospel of Judas was discovered, how somebody who had it kept it in a safety deposit box for years, somewhere in the United States, I don't remember what state. And so this book, which is ancient, which is from the time that the other, you know, Gospels were written, there's chunks of it missing. It's just absolutely crumbling. And thank goodness they were able to salvage it enough where they have, you know, chunks of what the Gospel of Judas says. And in the Gospel of Judas, you know, the reason that I'm forgetting his name now, I'm not going to remember the priest's name. I don't remember his exact role, if it was a priest or a bishop. He was the one that decided that this was, you know, this needed to be just destroyed and removed from any semblance of the Bible. Destroyed probably every copy, except somebody saved this copy of the Gospel of Judas, and what remains is what we have today. And this one part where Jesus is talking to Judas, and the different interpretation in the Gospel of Judas is that Judas didn't betray Jesus. Jesus asked Judas to turn him in. He said that this is your role. I need you to do this for me, essentially. This is, you know, what I need you to do, because this is what, you know, I'm going to demonstrate that I'm not a body. And this is, these are all my words. This is not actually, you know, the language of the Gospel of Judas. Jesus said to Judas, and this I wrote down because this is a quote from the documentary. And he says to Judas, "You will sacrifice the cloth that covers me." I think I'm getting it right, and I wrote it down somewhere because I was so like, ooh, this is just, "You will," I'm sorry, I wrote it down right here. "You will sacrifice the man that clothes me." So again, that's Jesus saying to Judas, "You will sacrifice the man that clothes me." And I just thought, wow, like that still kind of gives me goosebumps, because it's sacrificing the man that clothes his truth. And that truth is what the Course is leading us back to recognizing that we are, that the body is absolutely nothing. And that's what we're going to be hearing in these subsequent paragraphs about this real message of the crucifixion. So I just wanted to share that because I thought it was pretty cool. And I highly recommend, if you can, watch the documentary. It's really...
Where did you see that documentary?
I saw that too.
It was on TV. I don't even know what...
PBS?
Yeah. Corinne?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that as well, and it's just a stunning.
Oh, you did?
And I saw it about a month ago, and I was equally stunned by what it revealed. What was quoted from it, and it made perfect sense as I meditated on it later. It's like, of course, that seems so right for some reason,
right?
That that interpretation or that gospel of what Judas was communicating, that he's been misinterpreted and being portrayed as a betrayer, the ultimate, you know, symbol of the betrayer of the Savior, and he actually has played a very pivotal role in the processes or the choices, it seems.
I'm so glad that you saw it also, and it talked about how.
Point in it. Go ahead.
Yeah, how I'm sorry. It talked also about how Judas was Jesus's most trusted confidant, and he was the one that Judas was the one that Jesus shared all the secrets of the kingdom with, because he was the only one that was ready to actually hear it, which is cool too to think about, because in the end of this section that we'll be reading, it talks about how the apostles were still too full of fear, still too full of their own guilt to actually understand Jesus's message at the time that this all happened. So very cool. Thank you, Stephanie, for sharing that. That's awesome. If you Google Gospel of Judas, I'm sure you can find whatever network.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Did you find it?
No, but that'll do it.
Yeah, that'll definitely do it. And I'm sure you can catch it again on TV.
Where's mine?
Okay. How about we read some more? "I have made it perfectly clear that I am like you and you are like me, but our fundamental equality can be demonstrated only through joint decision. You are free to perceive yourselves as persecuted if you choose. You might remember, however, when you do choose to react that way, that I was persecuted as the world judges and did not share this evaluation for myself. And because I did not share it, I did not strengthen it. I therefore offered a different interpretation of attack, and one which I do want to share with you. If you will believe it, you will help me to teach it. We have said before, as you teach, so shall you learn. If you react as if you are persecuted, you are teaching persecution. This is not a lesson which the sons of God should want to teach if they are to realize their own salvation. Rather, teach your own perfect immunity, which is the truth in you, and know that it cannot be assailed. Do not protect it yourselves, or you have believed that it is assailable. You are not asked to be crucified, which was part of my own teaching contribution. You are merely asked to follow my example in the face of much less extreme temptations to misperceive and not to accept them falsely as justifications for anger. And I'll pause there. So this has always been very reassuring for me, where it says, you are not asked to be crucified, you're merely asked to follow my example in the face of much less extreme temptations to misperceive. And what are those less extreme temptations, which might feel extreme when we're in them, but those extreme temptations to believe that we are these limited bodies, bodies that are subject to sickness and death and starvation, you know, all the things in the world that would be there for evidence. Those are all the temptations that we can side with, can see when we're seeing with the ego's eyes versus when we have that willingness to take what it is we think we see and bring it to the Holy Spirit instead to be taught the right perception. One of the prayers that I just love in the Course so much, and I know I've said this many times, is teach me the right perception of the body. When I was going through the testing that I referenced earlier a few months ago, that was one of the things that just kept coming up for me again and again and again, was teach me the right perception of the body. That's what another way of saying everything that we just read, where Jesus is saying, you know, he, as the world judged it, he was persecuted, but he did not share that belief himself. He didn't share that perspective himself, and he's teaching us, he's wanting to teach us a different way. And so that way is another way of looking at the body. It's the right perception of the body, and we just have to be willing and open and continually turn to the Holy Spirit to start to learn what that actually means, because it'll unfold differently for all of us. So what else came up for you when we were reading this? Does anybody have any thoughts, any things to add?
It's a lot.
It is a
lot. It's a lot to take in.
Mm-hmm. It sure is.
Rather teach you your own perfect immunity. I love it.
Right? Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, my God.
That is beautiful. I'm just kind of sitting
and
with those words.
And no, it cannot be assailed. I just think it's such a miracle that we're reading this tonight. It's just perfect for me to hear.
Absolutely. I was thinking that too, because knowing when I've gone through those strong ego, you know, where the ego knows it can get me in terms of health fears, this being such a deep message and such a powerful message really always gets right to the core of it for me. So when you were talking earlier, I thought the same thing. It's great that we're reading this tonight.
I guess it's all about forgiveness, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you want to say more about that?
Well, it just seems to me, I was thinking, you know, why has this been in the back of my mind so long? What's this about? And, you know, it took me right back to when I was a child and I was in the hospital, and It was a very difficult thing for a 7-year-old not to be. Nothing was explained to you. The adults around me who were supposed to be taking care of me were nasty, mean people. There just seemed to be no compassion or caring going on. And my mother, who didn't drive, was annoyed that she even had to come and to the hospital to see me. I mean, and I'm sure that's not really the truth of the matter, but it was difficult for her to get there every day, and I carried on so bad as a child. I'm a very bad patient when I was a child. And, so the idea, I think the fear has always been any time I've had to go under the, go into a hospital or go through this, is that they're going to be cruel and mean to me and not treat me well. And, when I thought about that beforehand, I thought, I really have to let go of all this. I have to let this go. And I tell you something, today, those people that I dealt with could not have been kinder, sweeter, nicer, more. They were wonderful people.
Yeah.
And
what a nice reinforcement of your decision.
That was, yeah, that was really cool. I mean, and at one point, it was really uncomfortable. I said, I can't wait to get out of here. And they were, the whole thing turned, it just turned out. So, if you're going to be in that situation, it could not have been a better environment, and the people could not have been kinder or nicer, every one of them. So I think that on some level there was a real shift that took place, because I know our expectations when we go into things really have a lot to do with why they turn out the way they do. So forgiveness, that willingness not to resist and to just constantly try to remember to let it all go. Just let it be whatever it is, is so powerful.
It is. Beautiful. Wow, what an opportunity.
It's huge. It's a huge opportunity. I don't particularly but
yeah. We don't have to like it.
Pretty,
still.
It's pretty amazing. Corinne, I totally understand what you went through. I thought of you 100,000 times.
This sounds so familiar as you're sharing all this.
I'm telling you, Corinne, honestly, you were on my mind so much. I was going to call you a few times, and I thought,
please, and you're welcome to. Anybody's welcome to, if anybody, yes, absolutely, absolutely. And you know what the good news is? And I'm saying this to you, Paula, and I mean it to everybody listening, no matter what it is that we're being faced with, the light in you is too bright to fail.
Yeah.
Period. The light is too bright to fail. It's impossible. We're going to make it.
Thank you.
We're going to make it, yes. Well, with that, Paula, I will be seeing you in the light and being willing to see the truth in you and who you really are. And I'm glad we are all here tonight. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
good
you.
Night.
Thank
good
you.
Night, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks. Have a good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Good night.